Our text is from Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1 to 4, particularly verse 4. Now the book of Exodus has 40 chapters. Right in the middle is chapter 20, which is perhaps the most important chapter in this book, and arguably of the entire Old Testament. In Exodus 20, God would give his people the Ten Commandments. God's people had already come to the wilderness of Sinai, to the foot of Mount Sinai. They had come a long way. Well, it's not exactly a very long way in terms of distance traveled, for the people had traveled only about 300 kilometers in the 3 months since leaving Egypt. On the average, they traveled about 3 to 4 kilometers per day. Of course, some days more, some days less. Some days no travel at all, such as on the Sabbath. But their deliverance from Egypt and their journey was epic. A lot has happened in those 3 months. It began with the Lord sending 10 terrible plagues to humble Pharaoh and to challenge the so-called gods of Egypt. The river now turned to blood. Frogs, flies and lice and locusts swarmed the land. Diseases and boils tormented the Egyptians and their livestock. Hail and darkness brought the nation to her knees. And then the firstborn males, both of men and of animals, were killed in one night. Pharaoh finally relented and let the people go. But that was not the end of their difficulties. For they had hardly left Egypt when Pharaoh changed his mind and began to pursue them with horses and chariots. God had to intervene again. He led the people to the edge of the Red Sea, or to an extension of the Red Sea. The people were terrified. But God opened the Red Sea so that the people could cross on dry land. Then when the Egyptians sought to follow after them, he caused the walls of water to collapse on them so that the army was drowned. Then the people arrived at Marah, and they found there that they could not drink the water because the water was bitter. Imagine the exasperation of the people from the distance. They expected to find water, go all the way there, no water, couldn't drink. Again the Lord intervened. He directed Moses to a particular tree to cast the tree into the water, and the water became sweet water, drinkable water. Not only so, but sometime after that, the people ran out of food. What did the Lord do? The Lord provided them manna and quail. He would sustain the people with manna for the rest of their journey in the wilderness. Then they traveled to Rephidim, and again they had no water. What did the Lord do? The Lord directed Moses to a particular rock, had him hit the rock, and water came out from it. The New Testament teaches us that rock was Christ. It was a lesson to the people, the trust in Christ. Then the Amalekites came, and they attacked the Israelites. What did the Lord do? The Lord gave the army led by Joshua victory, as they were supported in prayer by Moses, holding up the rod. But now in our text, they had reached Mount Sinai. They will remain at this place for the next 11 months as the Lord gives them the law and spelled out their covenant obligation. But one of the first things that the Lord did was to call Moses, the appointed leader of the Lord, the leader of the people, to go up to the mount Moses did as instructed, and the Lord began to speak to Moses. The Lord would tell Moses many things over the next 1.5 months or so. But this first trip up to the mount was for Moses to receive some initial instruction to prepare the people to receive the Ten Commandments. Moses would go down and then gather the people, directed them what to do, come to the base of the mount, and they would hear the Lord tell them the Ten Commandments audibly. But before that, the Lord say some very important words to Moses. What did the Lord say in that introduction? Verse 3. Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now these are very beautiful and profound words. Moses had to convey that to the people. But notice that there are two parts to it. In the first part, verse 4, the Lord is calling upon the people to remember how he bore them on eagle's wings. Now the Lord helping us, we want to study these words this evening. We'll consider the second part, God willing, next Sabbath. The first part, the Lord says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. What a beautiful statement, isn't it? But what does the Lord mean? Now, perhaps the best way for us to understand what the Lord is saying is for us to consider Moses' own inspired elaboration of these words. This inspired elaboration may be found in Deuteronomy chapter 32, in the Song of Moses, which Moses recited before the Lord called him home. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And here you see in verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange god with him. From these words, we can get an idea of what the Lord means when he speaks of bearing Israel on eagle's wings. In the first place, we see that the Lord bore Israel upon eagle's wings in that he stirred up the nest to provoke Israel on her journey. Secondly, the Lord bore Israel upon eagle's wings in that he bore them up so that they are protected from all dangers in their journey. Thirdly, the Lord bore Israel upon eagle's wings in that he led them to their destination. But the Lord helping us, let's consider these three thoughts under the three heads. He stirs, he bears, and he leads. First then, he stirs. The Lord tells the Israelites, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. The picture that the Lord is painting is something which the Israelites would no doubt be familiar with, though most of us who live in a concrete jungle will be clueless about, except some of us who are budding ornithologists, those of us who are looking at birds. But apparently, the Lord is painting the picture of an eagle tending to her young and preparing her for adult life. This is confirmed in the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, which we read. How does the eagle tending to a young prepare the young for adult life? Well, apparently the eagle begins by stirring the nest. What does that mean? Well, remember that an eaglet would live her entire life as a baby in the nest. She would be fed by her parents, usually for eagles, both mother and father feed. And they are protected by the parents. So the eaglet does not need to leave the nest to look for food. She does not need to fight off any enemies. That's the job of the parents. So parents does everything for the eaglet. But the day comes when the parents of that eaglet determines that that baby is now ready to go out on her own. This would coincide with the time when the chick becomes a fledgling. A fledgling is a baby bird that is losing the fluff. You know how the baby bird can be very cute with all fluffy feathers. But they begin to lose it and they begin to grow adult feathers. And while the baby bird is very plump because of fats, now the fat is being replaced by muscles. And the baby begins to look more and more like the adult. So the baby physically is ready. But having lived a incomplete dependence on her parents for the last 3 months or so, that eaglet would not be quite eager to go out. Sometimes she'll need a little coaxing. This may come by the parents bringing less and less food for the baby. Initially, the parents bring a lot of food, feed the baby until it becomes plump. But now, when the parents want the baby to go out, they bring less and less, sometimes bring nothing. And this may also come by the parents apparently flapping their wings, making it uncomfortable for the baby to stay on in the nest, provoking the baby to go out, to take the step outside the nest, rather than to remain in it. Apparently, this is what Moses means by his reference to the eagle stirring up the nest. The eagle knows that the eaglet must begin to fly and begin to take care of herself. So the eagle seeks by all means to provoke the baby to get out of the nest, to gain confidence, to start to use her wings. This is what the Lord did for Israel, didn't he? Israel had been in Goshen of Egypt for 400 years. Goshen was like her nest. She was growing into a nation in Goshen without any external harassment. But as the time approached for her to leave Goshen to inherit the land which the Lord had promised to her fathers, the Lord, by his providence, made it more and more difficult for the Israelites to stay on. They became the slaves of Pharaoh. Pharaoh began to ill-treat them. And as God sent plagues upon Pharaoh and his people, it became more and more urgent for them to leave. They had lost their welcome in Egypt. Goshen was no longer a comfortable nest. The Lord was stirring the nest. This is what the Lord does for his people too, isn't it? When the Lord would have us move out of our present unbelief and complacency, he stirs the nest. We think of how he stirs the nest to bring us out of bondage to sin and misery. How does he do so? He does so sometimes by bringing painful circumstances into our lives, so that we begin to realize that this home, this world, is not our home. Some of us he provoked to think about God through such circumstances. It may be an illness, it may be a loss of a loved one, it may be a broken relationship, But by all this means, the Lord stirs the nest. We were self-sufficient. We were enjoying a false sense of security, a false sense of well-being, until the Lord begins to stir the nest. And we realize there's more to life than simply going on in this world. For some of us, the Lord may stir our nest through the preaching of the word. When we are provoked to conviction and to confess and repent of our sin, David was, as it were, in a comfortable nest. His sin against Bathsheba and against Uriah, but he was continuing there, getting uncomfortable because of guilt, but not moving out, until the Lord sent Nathan to say to him, "You are the man." And he had to come out. The Lord was stirring his nest. Dearly beloved brethren, youth and children, has the Lord been stirring your nest? Are you yet in unbelief? Have you backslidden? Have you become complacent and left your first love? Have you become lukewarm? Do you see how the Lord is stirring your nest by the troubles that He's bringing into your life? Do you see how He's stirring your nest by the preaching of the word? Oh, do not remain stubborn. The Lord will bear you on eagle's wings, but He would first stir the nest. Oh, will you not humble yourself and respond with obedience to the Lord's call? Turn away from your sin and complacency. Follow Him obediently. For such as follow the Lord, He bears. This is the second thing that we see, we may learn from the words of our Lord. He bears. What does the Lord mean when He tells the Israelites that He bore them on eagle's wings? Well, some suggest that the Lord is painting a picture of the eagle holding her eaglet in her claws, or allowing the eaglet to ride on her back. I read some very fanciful commentary on this. Well, I'm not an expert in birds, but as far as I know, no birds are known to do that. The eagles, or the vultures, the Hebrew word for eagle here can also be translated as vultures. None of them apparently have this behavior. I'm not sure. Maybe some of our bird watchers can tell us. I'll be happy to hear that there's such a behavior, that they actually carry the babies on the back. No, some swans, they do that. But that's when they're swimming. They put their babies on the back for a short while. But not the eagles. Not the vultures. So what does it mean when he says, "I bore you on eagle's wings"? Well, actually, no one seemed to be able to give a satisfactory answer from a nature point of view. We know that eagles and vultures sometimes would take extraordinary measures to help their fledglings. They will feed them, they will provoke them to start to fly, they will show them how to fly, and very probably, as some suggest, these eagles would actually fly underneath the fledglings as they take their first flight, to make sure that they can at least rest on them for a while, something like that. But what we know, that in nature, the eagles does put in effort. Not sure exactly how it's done. But whatever the case may be, one thing is certain. What the Lord did for the Israelites can be described beautifully as bearing them on eagles' wings. For we see how the Israelites had many troubles from the time they left Egypt till they reached Mount Sinai. But the Lord helped them through them all. In a sense, He lifted them up far above all their troubles, so that nothing hindered them at all in their journey. they were confronted with the army of Pharaoh. The Lord, as it were, lifted them up so that not a single one of them was hurt by the Egyptians. They were confronted by the Red Sea. The Lord, as it were, lifted them up upon eagle's wings so that the sea was no obstacles to them at all. They were troubled by a lack of water and lack of food, but the Lord, as it were, lifted them up on eagle's wings so that these problems were no problems at all. It seemed unsurmountable in the desert to have no food and water, but not a problem because they were borne on eagle's wings. Likewise, when the Israelites were confronted by the Amalekites, the Lord, as it were, lifted them up on eagle's wings so that they had victory over the Amalekites. No mountain was too high, no river was too deep, no ocean was too vast that the Israelites could not ford, for the Lord was bearing them on eagle's wings. Now, beloved brethren and children and friends, I cannot tell you that the Lord is bearing you on eagle's wings if you do not know Him or are not following Him. He might have stirred the nest, but you have remained stubborn. In that case, I cannot tell you that He's bearing you on eagle's wings. But if you believe Him, if you trust Him, if you hope in Him, I know that the Lord is bearing you on eagle's wings through life. Isaiah says in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Those that wait upon the Lord are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him for everything. If you believe Him, trust Him, and hope in Him, the Lord is bearing you on eagle's wings. No trouble in this life will be too great. No mountain will be too high. No valley will be too deep. Why? Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. Why? Because whatever you ask by faith in the name of Christ, God gives to you. Why? Because all things are working together for the good of them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. Why? Because this world is not your home, but the Lord has prepared a home for you. And you know it in your heart of hearts. If you are following the Lord, you know it in your heart of hearts. No trouble is too great. And so you can have a peace that the world does not understand. Whenever you look to the Lord Jesus, when you turn your face away from the wind and the waves and look to the Lord, the peace that transcends understanding fills your heart, doesn't it? Because if in a moment of unbelief you turn and you begin to look, you may be troubled in your heart. But you who know the Lord can always turn to the Lord and know that He is bearing you on eagle's wings. Beloved brethren and children, trust the Lord. Wait upon Him. If you are trusting Him and following Him, do not doubt that the Lord is bearing you on eagle's wings. The Israelites might not know. They might have doubted. That is why they were murmuring and complaining. They even talk of stoning Moses. But the reality is that they were being borne on eagle's wings by the Lord. This is what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. The fact that you do not feel the breeze as you are being carried on eagle's wings, the fact that you do not feel the warmth and the comfort of the eagle's feathers, does not change the divine reality that the Lord is bearing you on eagle's wings. Therefore, trust Him. Live by faith, not by sight. Walk gratefully and cheerfully with Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You must believe His promise. What is it to seek first the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God has its manifestation in the church, isn't it? So if your life is not centered on God's people, on God's work, you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. If you give priority to the things of God and to seek His righteousness, the Lord will bless. Trust Him. Trust Him. The Lord is bearing you on eagle's wings. You don't have to worry about tomorrow or all the trouble and begin to murmur, begin to complain because things does not seem to be going so well. Remember, you are born on eagle's wings. And when you trust the Lord leads. That's the third thing that we must learn. Now text, the Lord says, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. To bring someone somewhere will be to lead that person to that place, isn't it? So in Deuteronomy 32 we read, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. How did the Lord lead? Well, the eagle leads her young by example, by what is known as imprinting. She flaps her wings and shows them how they may fly. So the eaglets take their first flight by imitating the parents. They do what the parents did. They see their parents flap their wings and jump off the branch. They do exactly the same. What about the case of the Israelites? Well, in the case of the Israelites, the Lord did lead them by example through Moses. The Lord had taught Moses to trust Him to walk by faith. He needed 40 years to learn that, so that he might be an example to the people. The people of God being led by Moses would inevitably learn his example if they humbled themselves to learn. But more than example, the Lord actually led the people by way of the pillar of clouds by day and the pillar of fire by night. In other words, He literally led the people visually so that they could see. Where did He lead them? Our text teaches us that He led them to Himself. What does that mean? Well, I believe in two senses of the word. First, He's referring to Mount Sinai, because it was at Mount Sinai that He first spoke to Moses, and it would be at Mount Sinai that He gives them the law. But secondly, the Lord no doubt led the people to Himself spiritually, for He gave them the gospel. Remember how the apostle to the Hebrews says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. The Lord was not only providing for the people through the miracles, He was teaching them about Christ. He was teaching them how He redeems them from sin, how He heals, how He provides the heavenly manna, how He provides the Spirit to quench their spiritual thirst, how He mediates on their behalf, how He defeats His enemies, etc. All the miracles were leading them to Him through Christ. What about today? Well, today our Lord is still doing the same. He stirs up the nest, He bears us on eagle's wings, and He leads us. Where does He lead us? Well, in a sense, He's leading us to heaven, as He led His people to Sinai and later to Canaan. But really, that is not the most important thing, because Sinai and Canaan would be nothing special had the Lord not determined that He would meet them there. That is why the Lord did not say to the people, I brought you here to Mount Sinai. But He says, I brought you unto myself. What amazing words. The Lord is leading us unto Himself. is leading us to Him, to enjoy His love and fellowship today and for all eternity. When we go to heaven, heaven will be quite a meaningless place, would it not, that Christ is there? He's leading us to Himself. How is the Lord leading us? He's leading us by way of example. For we are to be imitators of Christ and to follow in His footsteps. He's leading us also by way of His law. By His law, He's teaching us how we may live and how we may love Him. If you love me, keep my commandments, the Lord says. He's also leading us by His sovereign providence. We must believe that. Most of all, He's leading us by Christ. The Lord Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Through Christ and all His means, we are being led to God. Beloved brethren, children, and friends, if you do not believe in Christ, I cannot tell you that the Lord is leading you to Himself. Perhaps you are being fooled by the wicked one to head in the way of self-destruction, of misery. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're following Him, I know that the Lord is leading you. He's bringing you to Himself. Only obey Him. Take heed to obey His commandments. Observe His laws out of gratitude. Follow the example of Christ. As Christ laid down His life for His people, so learn to do the same. In this way, the Lord will lead you to Himself. You will enjoy Him today, and you will enjoy Him in eternity. Tonight, the words that the Lord said to the Israelites is also spoken to you. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. The Lord has done great things for the redemption of His people. By taking on human nature and living and suffering for His people, the Lord overcame the world and defeated Satan. The world is spiritual Egypt. Satan is spiritual Pharaoh. You have seen what the Lord has done to spiritual Egypt and to spiritual Pharaoh at the cross. You have seen how He bears His people on eagle's wings by stirring the nest to bring them unto conviction, repentance, and faith. You have experienced it yourself. Perhaps. You have seen how the Lord bears up His people so that all things are working together for the good of them that love Him and accord according to His purpose. You see how He's leading, you. You who bear the name of the Lord. He leads you. The scripture reminds us, by sanctification, perseverance. Or will you not trust Him and obey Him? All who trust in Him and believe Him will be as the eaglet, experiencing peace that the world does not understand. Hope that maketh not ashamed. Joy of the Holy Ghost that is not dampened by circumstance, as well as the love of God shed abroad in our heart. Make no mistake. Even if you believe Him and trust and obey Him, your life will not be problem free. Israel was not problem free. But you will know that the Lord is bearing you on eagle's wings. And you can run the race confident and joyful until your eternal rest. No problem will be too great for you that it will harm you, and you may know that. You don't have to be overtly sorrow by troubles in your life, no matter how great they may be, because you may have the confidence the Lord is bearing you on eager swings and leading you through all these things to Himself. But tonight I must also ask the question, do you believe the Lord? Do you trust Him? If you do not believe in the Lord, I cannot say. He's bearing you on eager swings. He's leading you to Himself. But as you hear the word, know that He's stirring your nest. Will you not turn away from sin? And know that your life is meaningless, empty, except it be found in Christ. Don't continue to allow Satan to fool you, that you live a life that is empty and meaningless, full of misery, so that the only real emotion in your heart that you can feel is pain, sorrow. But go to the Lord and know true joy that is everlasting, for the Lord bears on eagle's wings those who are His. Amen. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? O Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for that assurance in Thy word, that Thou dost bear Thy people on eagle's wings and lead us to Thyself. We thank Thee that all the problems in this present life are not so great as to harm us, but that Thou art through them leading us to Thyself, that we may know Thee more and more, that we may enjoy Thee more, that we may be prepared for that eternal rest, wherein we will no longer be troubled by all the cares of this world and of sin and sinners. But only help us, we pray, to trust Thee, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in His ways, to seek first Thy kingdom and Thy righteousness. And grant that if there be anyone now missed tonight, continue to be troubled by sin, such a person may truly awake out of slumber and sin, no longer to be fooled by the deceitfulness of sin, but to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ and find rest in Him, and that confident assurance that as they leave this present life, they are being carried on eagle's wings unto their needed destination, even Thee and Thee alone. For we will pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we close by singing from Psalm 103?